Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is judge, jury, and executioner. Friend Frank, how are you today?
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I am the law, and the law is consistent, Frank.
Yeah, that is true.
Judge
is
Frank. True. Interesting. No one else is consistent, the beer we're drinking.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's almost like we never left the
it's
room.
It's almost like we never left the room.
So weird how that happens. I'm still chomping away here. I'm not chomping at all, actually. I haven't switched away from Switchback Ale.
There you go.
Yeah.
Chomping away. It did somehow freeze and turn into potato chips. Mm. Is that what you were saying?
They're like ice chips.
Okay, before I continue my beer, I have a question.
Yeah.
Vodka's made from potatoes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I said that to somebody the other day, and they were like, shut up. No, it's not.
Well, they're just wrong.
And I was like, I'm 99% sure. It is possible. And I was 100% sure until you said that to me.
It's possible that not all vodka is made from potatoes, but I was under the impression that it was.
Yeah. Well, then they were like, so if you juice a potato, can I get vodka? And I was like, I don't think you know anything.
That's not how it works.
I don't think you know anything about how distilleries.
Yeah, no.
So you need to go on a tour,
which
I recommend. If you can, you should go on a tour of Abbey Ale. Because they make a wonderful St. Bernardus ABT-12. Which
I think St. Bernardus makes the Abbey Ale.
Well, I don't know.
I think they make an ale in an abbey.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah.
I'm drinking the same beer
as
I was last episode.
It's so
because it's so good, Frank.
Yes. And it's very heavy, let's be honest.
It is really heavy.
It's one that you want to... It really is, and I don't say this lightly, it is like a fine whiskey or a fine wine where you want to sip it slowly and enjoy it. So
I am sipping it slowly.
Very good, very good, very good. So what are we talking about today?
So we're here because this is the next episode of Let Me Tell You Why It's Wonderful. And we're here because I made Frank watch the seminal 90s classic, 1995's Judge Dredd, starring Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
And I want to know what you thought about it because I'm going to tell you why it's one of my favorite films from childhood.
Okay. I had very, very strong feelings about this movie.
I loved it! I loved this movie!
I did not want to. I tried so hard. I fought uphill. I tried so hard, Tim. I can't even tell you. I tried so hard
like five
to not
minutes,
love
five,
it.
5 minutes of the movie are like, this is pretty fun.
Yes.
Dang it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, but actually.
10 minutes. Eat recycled food.
Yes.
It's good for the environment and
okay
for
you. Yes. Yeah. I loved it so much. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of it. It was fan-frickin-tastic. It was like it had all the things that a bad comic book movie should have.
Yep.
You know, and oh, man, it was so much fun.
I know.
Okay. So here's what I enjoyed most about this movie.
Okay.
What I enjoyed most about this movie was that it felt ripped right out of the comic book. Like,
except true, but it's not.
I'm sure it's not.
Yeah.
I'm sure I got the sense that the actual comic is like a little more Alan Moore.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's he didn't write it, did he?
Nope.
Okay. But I
might have written a story here or there.
Okay. But he wasn't like known for like, okay.
No.
I got the sense that it was like you took an Alan Moore style story, yep. a dark, gritty, you know, 80s or whatever story.
You took Watchmen.
Yeah, and you put it in the Silver Age.
Kind
of. Or you at least told the story with Silver Age sensibilities.
Yeah, you turned Watchmen into Batman and Robin.
A little bit.
That's kind of what it is.
Not that bad.
No.
Not that bad.
You turned Watchmen into Batman Forever.
Yeah, okay.
Or
yeah,
Superman
maybe.
3.
Yeah. What I liked about it was that it felt like every 15 minutes, a 96-minute movie, so yep. a decent length. Not super long.
No.
Which was also good. But it felt longer than it was, but not in a bad way.
Yep.
And every 15, 20 minutes or so, I felt like it was something from a different issue. Because you remember when we were kids, but more in the Silver Age, Bronze Age,
it was a one and done.
It was a much more one and done type of situation to where comic book collectors used to be like, oh, sure, that was in Amazing Fantasy number 15, or oh, sure, that was in Detective Comics number 138.
Yep.
People knew down to the issue when that happened. Oh, first appearance of this character, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Nowadays, you say, oh, yeah, that happened in the Grounded storyline. That happened in the Dark Knight mm-hmm. Returns storyline. You do it by storyline because that's sort of the unit of measurement nowadays.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
It's the trade rather than the issue. So these felt like many adventures, the many adventures of Judge Dredd, like 7 or 8 different adventures.
Instead of like the adventures of Robin Hood, it's the adventures
yes,
of Judge Dredd.
Yes. And it was like 7 or 8 of them like anthologized together in one story where you string them together and there's a through line, but it feels like lots of different issues.
Okay, well that's very interesting that you said that because I always kind of feel like it's a very short television season.
Oh, sure.
You know, like, here are the different adventures of Judge Dredd with this one through line, one villain all the way to the end.
Could have been an episode.
Yep, definitely. So, Judge Dredd is an anthology series, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Started in the 80s.
Okay.
And do you know anything about the comic at all?
We did do an episode where you did tell me a little bit of the story of Judge Dredd.
Okay. Well, now that you've seen the movie, you've actually got a fairly good sense of it.
Okay.
But the comics themselves are, because they started in the 80s, they are very much that. Here's the one adventure of Judge Dredd, and here's the other adventure of Judge Dredd.
Right.
And it's not for a long time did you then, for in Dredd, did you then get whole story arcs and returning characters. And it took a little while to get there, like almost any other book, because it comes from 1000 AD,
yes.
which is an anthology comic series, but Judge Dredd took off really well, and he's their most popular character, so they kept bringing him back.
Sure.
Judge Dredd ages in real time in the book.
Okay.
So he starts in his, let's say, 20s or whatever in 1980. In 2017, he's that many years
old.
He's that many
Got
years
it.
Older. So that's all fine. Judge Dredd does not remove his helmet in the comics. Ever.
Okay.
His face has never been seen
on
page before.
Interesting.
10 minutes or 15 minutes into this movie.
Helmet's off. Yeah.
Helmet's off, baby.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's because he's Sylvester Stallone.
Exactly.
And that's because it that goes back to, that's typical,
with his weird blue contacts.
Yeah. I was going to say, are his eyes blue?
Yes. No, they're not.
Okay.
Because Rico is wearing the same contacts because they're clone buddies.
Because
they're clone
brothers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we'll get to that. But that was my overall feeling.
Okay.
Was like, this feels like I am seeing a bunch of different, like, maybe key issues of this story. Now, I didn't know it only went back to the 80s, which
yep.
means it was a relatively new property in 1995.
About maybe 50, yeah,
not,
less than 15 years
not
old.
Not
yeah.
like the story going back to the 60s, which I sort of, it felt like an 80s type of thing, like
yes.
the sort of dystopian
yep.
nature of
mm-hmm.
it. But the way they were telling the story felt like I said, like a Silver Age sensibility or Bronze Age mm-hmm. sensibility.
It's,
so
it's,
it felt it, like...
It's a response to Thatcher's England, even though it takes place in America.
The comic is. Oh, so like V for Vendetta.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the tone of it. So Judge, for
I can
people
see
who
that.
Don't know,
I can see that.
The world post-apocalyptic whatever, the world is divided into these things called megacities, and the megacities are huge. So like Megacity 1, where Judge Dredd is basically Maine all the way down to Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
and all of that in the what is the former United States of America is Megacity 1, and that's his jurisdiction. You don't get that scope in this film, but that's okay. It's a 90s movie. Now, I like Judge Dredd comics. I love this movie. I totally recognize that it's not really like the right Judge Dredd, and I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, having never picked up a comic.
Yep.
I don't have that history to you know, back it up. Mm-hmm. So just purely watching this for what it is, it's an insanely fun series of stories. There's so much action.
Tons.
There's and it's the way the story unfolds is very Batman 66 in the very quick exposition of like, and it turns out, he's your brother. My brother, it's very cheesy. Like,
so cheesy.
Maybe not even Batman 66, maybe even more Flash Gordon. Very quick. Like, the number of things, any two or three pieces of this movie, like a bunch of things happen in this movie, and two or three of them in a modern day movie would have been like half the things that happened in this movie would happen over the course of a 2-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they squeezed like three movies worth into 90 minutes.
Agreed. So there was, did you notice the wild shift in tone sometimes? So the movie starts kind of serious, right? Yes. These guys are shooting up the street, and we're going to go in. It's pretty and dark. And then a moment comes pretty much when Dredd gets kicked out of Mega City 1,
you know,
and he meets up with Rob Schneider again. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Roy Schneider. Of Jaws fame.
I would never get him confused.
No, you shouldn't.
I hate Rob Schneider.
I know. So he's not bad in this movie.
He's Jar Jar Binks in this movie.
A bit. So here's the thing. Danny Cannon, the director of Judge Dredd, wanted to make a dark, gritty, true to the comic movie.
Oh no.
Sylvester Stallone wanted to make a campy action adventure, like Lethal Weapon in the future kind of movie. And that's where the clash of tone comes from, because eventually, so like, Danny Cannon is Danny Cannon, but Sylvester Stallone is Sylvester Stallone,
right?
And he wins out. And he wins out. And so that's kind of, that's why you get Judge Dredd with his not one but two catchphrases in this movie. I am the law.
Yep.
And then you get I knew you'd say that.
Now, are either of those from the comics?
I Am the Law is.
Okay.
I Am the Law is. I Knew You'd Say That is definitely not. Okay. But I love it every time he says it. It's it's stupid. Dredd, be careful out there, huh? I knew you'd say that.
And it's just so perfect coming from Stallone.
Yeah.
Now,
Stallone's a good actor.
Like, he can be.
Yeah, he can be. He can be a terrible actor.
Honestly, look at his track record. Not the brightest track record. Like there are probably more flops than hits.
Probably. But when,
or at least critically.
Yep. But when given the right material and even the right director, he can be great. He's great in Creed. He's great in Rocky. He has some kind of pathos to him, but like he gets caught up in like his own 80s action hero machoism.
Yeah.
And, like, it really comes across in this movie. He's probably in one of the best shapes of his life in this movie, too.
Oh, yeah. He was in ridiculous shape. And, it was like a prime of life appearance for him. And, honestly, his acting is actually very good in this movie.
Like, I think he's fun.
It's a campy comic book movie. Granted, it's not from campy source material.
Right.
But the movie itself is campy. And it owns it. And it does it so well.
Yeah, for a movie that actually had a huge dividing line between star and director, it meshes together pretty okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. And there's like, I think the production design of this movie is real fun. It's got this Blade Runner thing going for it, which is fine. But even little things, goes to see Rico in prison.
Yeah.
And there's like the fingerprint scanner that has the picture inside, and then he just opens it up and it's a gun. I'm like, that's super fun.
Yeah.
Like, what a great way to escape from prison.
It's full of this sort of pulp hero level adventure.
Yep.
Of like, and then he just in the nick of time swung across the chasm and made it just before the bomb exploded. And it's like super like over the top.
Well, it's got this kind of Star Trek thing going, like, we got to run down this tunnel with the flame before the flame goes again.
Exactly. Right. Like, and it's like only Judge Dredd could do this. Yep. Like, it's
only Judge Dredd could run, like, nobody else in the history of the world has made it, but only Judge Dredd could make it, go back and get the guy who's fallen, then still make it.
Right. With, like, exactly. And even, like, when they find out that, like, oh, you weren't actually the murderer, and you were innocent, and oh God, you saved us all. Like, we were broadcasting what was happening inside the whole time, and he gets on the motorcycle to, like, drive off. Mm-hmm. It's just like all his adoring fans are cheering outside.
It's Judge Dredd, the symbol of mass authority and militarism and dictatorship. Hooray!
Yeah,
hooray!
Right. But it is. It yeah. does harken back to this time of, like, remember when the good guys were just good? Like,
yeah.
Like they weren't all anti-heroes. Yes, they were less complex. Yes, they were less interesting in some ways. Well, but they were just good.
Again, that's funny that you say that, because Judge Dredd is
I'm sure
built,
super it, anti-hero.
It was not even anti-hero. It's built on the gray of it.
Sure.
Because they are an authoritative society. It is
Judge Dredd, an executioner.
Right. He is an executioner, and they're not really heroes. I was about to say they're not really heroes. They're cops. Not what I meant.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're not superheroes. Mm-hmm. They're guys who do their job.
Yeah.
And Judge Dredd is the best at what he does. He's so good at his job, and that's what makes it fun to watch. So I guess it's really if you're on the side of this lawful society or not. I mean, based on when you see the levels of Mega City 1, they're kind of on their side.
Yeah.
You know, the upper, you know, the 1% is up top and they're having a okay time, and then the ones down below are having a terrible time.
Sure.
And they seem to be okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like a lot of this movie is very black and white that way.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It is. It's very, yes, it has a very simplistic view of ethics and morality, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like there's good guys and bad guys, and there's the law, and you follow the law or you don't.
Well, but you say that. But the law is not infallible, which is one of the points
exactly.
Which is one of the points of the movie.
So it tries to teach this lesson of, like, you know, there is gray area, but in a very simplistic, and it talks about gray areas in a very black and white way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh,
the law never makes mistakes.
What about what happened to you? And he's like, I never thought of that.
Yeah. Even though I'm in this desert wasteland,
yeah.
and my father figure's there,
yeah.
and he's dying, but you're right. I guess the law isn't right sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Now turn to the camera, Mickey Mouse and Elmo, and let's sing a song. Like, that's, yeah.
It's a really, I keep saying fun, but it's just true. It is a ton of fun. It is not good.
It's not
good.
But it's great.
But it's wonderful.
Yeah. It's because it's unabashedly fun.
Yeah.
I think it really gets panned because of stupid things you don't really think about when you're a kid. Like, you're watching, like, Armand Asante? You're watching Armand Asante beat up Sylvester Stallone,
yes.
and you're supposed to believe it.
Yes.
Like, here's this guy who's a foot shorter than Sylvester Stallone, and he's got the most spaghetti arms of any actor you've ever seen. His fingertips, like, go down to his knees, and there's no muscle on them whatsoever, and he's just like, yeah, I'm beating you up, and I'm winning.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't think you are.
Nah.
Yeah, I think you are because the movie's making you.
Yeah.
But he's so weirdly charismatic and fun and over the top because the rest of the movie's over the top. Like, it's totally fine. I don't
yes.
even care.
Yes.
Like, oh, I love it. Like, oh, so they're like, I am the law.
Yeah. 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 Like, yeah. Oh my God. That's the most over the top moment in the entire movie.
Yep.
If I were to lampoon this movie, that would be the one moment I would choose.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah. Yes. No one can say that word in this movie.
No.
Diane Lane is, you know, she's great.
Yep.
She is not the performance of her life.
Oh, God, no.
But it's what she's given.
Yeah, I know? Agree. And this is where my super hardcore crush on Diane Lane comes from.
Totally.
That
get
I
it.
Still have to this day.
Totally get it.
Like, she's Ma Kent and whatever. And I'm like, every time she shows, I'm like, oh, Diane Lane.
She's great.
She's so talented and pretty. And she saves the day. And it's great.
Yeah, it's great. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, just she's great in it. It's, Max von Sydow is in this movie.
I know, isn't it? This is the first thing I ever saw him in.
When you told me he was in it, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I kind of forgot about it. And then I saw him, and I was like, hey, it's him.
He's good.
I
mean, he's good in everything.
Yeah.
But he was like, it's one of those roles, like, do you know what movie you're in right now? But
well,
this is also the
Alec Guinness of this movie.
He's Great point. He is the Alec Guinness of this movie, but don't,
because he's the Obi-Wan figure.
Let us, yeah, oh, definitely.
He tells him like he's your brother. All that, like, you know,
he
like,
even shows up in a brown cloak in the middle of the desert.
Could they make it any more clear? There are actually a lot of parallels with Star Wars, but it's almost like they took the timeline of the things that happened in Star Wars, threw it in a blender, and then just like, all right, print.
Yep.
So they kind of like, it's not the same structure, but a lot of the same touch points are there.
It is weird that the world blows up by the Death Star right at the end of the movie.
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, is a little strange. I was going to say Max von Sydow, let's not forget, was in Flash Gordon.
That's right.
You know,
that's
like right. The one of the campiest of camp movies ever. So I think he might even know what movie he's in, and he's just like, whatever, this is fun.
That might be why they wanted him.
Yeah, because this is fun.
Yeah.
He's a cult classic, like, touchstone.
Yes, yes.
And I think more people like this movie than they care to admit.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think people get caught up in talking about its critical, value. So, like, looking at it from a critical lens, talking about, is it a good movie or a bad movie? If you want to be that, you know, black and white, and if you want to be that strict about, like, we're just talking on like a filmmaking, from filmmaking sensibilities, yeah, it's not a great movie. But do you enjoy it? Are you entertained by it? Do you sit there for 96 minutes and you're like, go, Judge Dredd, go! Yeah. Yes!
Yep. Yeah,
it inspires, definitely, like, these feelings of, like, childlike joy in me. Me seeing it for the first time at age 28, not having any childhood memories of it or a childhood attachment to it,
yep,
I still got that.
Yep. Did you? So, you know, like he says, I knew you'd say that a bunch, right? So when he's with the mutants in the desert, and there's that robot guy, and he's like, "How do you plead?" He's like, "Ah," he's like, "I knew you'd say that." He like shouts it every time, like, "Yay!" He knew.
Now, you told me that he had more than one catchphrase.
Yep.
And I couldn't remember if you said there were two or three.
Two.
Now I know. Yeah. But going into the movie, I couldn't remember if you'd said two or three. So
did you find a third one?
Well, I thought I did. So he said, "I am the law," pretty early on in the movie. I knew about that one. That was infamous.
Yeah.
But early on, he says court adjourned, or this court's adjourned, or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, oh, is that going to be another catchphrase? Like, is he going to say that a bunch? Like, I'm logging that away, because that sounds like
he says it right after he executes the leader of
the gang member,
that guy is in a bunch.
Oh, is he?
Of camp. I can't remember his name for the life of me, but he is also, if you're talking campy movies that are pulpy, he is the head gangster in Billy Zane's The Phantom.
Oh, yeah. I just re-listened to our episode about The Phantom recently.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, good movie. Mm-hmm. That guy, he's great in that movie, too. He shows up in a bunch. He's in tons and tons of stuff. He was the voice of Hawkman on Justice League Unlimited. And,
oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Not Hawkman from space, Hawkman from Egypt.
Oh,
there's two of them.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Yeah.
Not from Starcrossed, but from the other one. So, he says court is adjourned. He says it twice.
I thought he might have said it twice.
I think he says it at the end with Rico.
Okay.
But I honestly can't remember.
So when I heard that.
And they're fighting the Statue of Liberty for some reason.
Yeah. Oh. So
he's fighting for liberty, really because it's an authoritative society.
But still, kind of.
But
you're still rooting for him.
Yep.
At least in this version. I don't know if that's the case in the comics, but
you should root for him.
Okay.
But sometimes you shouldn't, but most of the time you should.
Right. On the whole.
Yeah.
So, is he kind of a Punisher type character in the comics?
I mean, as much as he is like at the Judge Dredd and Executioner, but he does follow the law. That is
right.
He is a type A.
Right.
It's the law. It's his big thing. So there's another movie, right?
Carl Urban's
Dredd.
2012's
Carl. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I would encourage you to watch it after watching this one.
I think
just to see the difference. It's got Lane Heady in it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
And
Donald
Gleason and
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Nice. He plays an albino. It's a stripped down, gritty reboot, if you will.
But is it more faithful to the comics?
Definitely.
Yeah,
it's not as high sci-fi the way that the book really is, because like the book has like extra dimensional beings that show up and like you know, like it's all over the place. You know, it's a true comic book.
Yeah.
The 2012 is in the vein of like,
we got to strip it down and make it gritty. Casino Royale, Batman Begins, you know, we got to make it gritty and reboot. But Judge Dredd's already gritty, but this was the one that fans had been waiting for. And so if you're looking for a more accurate Judge Dredd, watch that one. But it's not, because it's gritty reboot era, it's not fun. You know what I mean? Like, Batman Begins is a good movie. It's not a fun movie.
No, it's not fun. Yeah, right. And that's not to say it's not good. It's to say it's not like, yay, Batman! Like, there are sort of those moments, but that's not the tone of it overall.
Right, exactly. There's always the catchphrase, you know, there's the, I'm Batman, right. And he says, I am the law in that one, and stuff like that. But it's a very stripped down
version. I get it, yeah.
I'd be curious what you think, let me tell you why it's wonderful, because pretty much everyone agrees that that movie is wonderful.
It's better, yeah.
Yeah. But I think because that one came out, people were like, even more like, boo, Sylvester Stallone's Dredd. But I just think that the movie's stupid fun. And I think, I know you don't like Rob Schneider, but I kind of like their chemistry together is quite good.
I was able to tolerate him way more.
Yeah.
The most. This is the most I've ever enjoyed Rob Schneider was in this.
Okay.
Movie. By far, actually.
Yeah. I really like the scene right before they run into the flames outside the city.
Yep.
And he's like, only a crazy person would run in there. And he's like, oh, those crazy people wouldn't do that. And he's like, oh, I know, because I'm standing outside with one right now. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you're making fun of me.
Yeah.
Stallone's like,
it's one of the that's like one of
exclamation
like the
grunts in this movie are top notch. Like they are, you know, like when they're on the bike and it's flying and they're escaping and he's like, I think I need new underwear or whatever. He's like, ugh. Like,
sorry.
So yeah.
But like, yeah, that's what I hate about Rob Schneider is like, he's the guy that will like, he's just the clown. He's the jester. You know, he's just there to be like, ah, poop joke, ah, sex joke, blah, blah, blah.
And that's the movie.
Yeah.
That's the movie that Stallone wanted.
Yeah.
And so, like, the other stuff that you like about it is what Danny Cannon wanted.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's like this weird blend of the two, that shouldn't, I don't think should work, but I think it does.
I think it does work. I could have done with, let me put it this way. If Rob Schneider was not in it,
I think it'd still be a good movie.
It wouldn't leave any holes.
No, I don't. Well, sort of, because he's not just there for the laughs. Like, he does serve
a purpose.
He moves
some plot elements forward, or at least some, like, like sort of transitional or some logistical things of, like, how Dredd gets from A to B or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, that could be solved otherwise.
I agree.
By somebody who's not cracking poop jokes every couple seconds.
Did you like the clear Terminator robot ripoff?
Yes, I did, actually.
I did
quite a bit.
It's pretty
Armand
cool.
Armand Asante's robot
friend. Yeah. And it's pretty awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I loved so much about like the grandiose, over the top scale of like the Chief Justice deciding to step down so they would be lenient to Dredd and all these like again these things that you would be like, oh man, that happened in issue 145. You know, like those kind of tentpole, like it'd be on the cover and it'd be like, oh my god, he's
Judge Dredd is found guilty of murder.
What?
In a society where he murders everyone.
But this was different because it was an illegal murder for some reason.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
Because other judges told him it was bad.
There's a building shaped like a giant eagle in this movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
How much more over the top can you be?
Right.
Like on the nose.
Right. That's not logistical. Like,
where's
your office?
About
is
that?
Your office in the bottom wing? Like, how do you get there?
I don't know.
It's like one.
How did they get to the top of
one spiral staircase down to the bottom of the wing where your one solitary office is?
Much like the Statue of Liberty. Like, they had a fight in the crown of the Statue of Liberty. Like, are you kidding me?
Yep. Where Project Janus just happened to be. Like,
apparently.
if you're a scientist group, or if you're like the Council of Judges or something like that, and you're like, we need to conduct this experiment about clones, where should we do it? The Statue of Liberty.
Oh man,
God forbid you put it in a science lab or something.
It's underground,
like,
secure somewhere.
No, you put it in the Statue of Liberty.
Even the
comic books,
the very idea of Janus and they're being like, oh, we're gonna make a clone army and we're going to use, you know, whatever, advanced incubation techniques to make them grow fast. But then the villain comes in and puts his DNA in, so they're all clones of him.
Yep. And the like, and the that, one judge, he's like, no, that wasn't the plan. Yeah, like, you didn't know he was going to do that. I know.
You put a power-hungry madman in a DNA chamber, and what'd you expect?
I know.
It's great. It actually felt to me like a little bit like the plot of like a Legends of Tomorrow episode or something.
Kind of. Yeah. But, which is also high camp.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I can see Damian Dark being like, come to me, my pretties. You know, like, so it just screamed camp, and but in like such a good way. It was the most fun, like, I've had watching a campy movie like this, maybe since Batman 66. Like, wow. I put it on a pedestal of like good bad movies.
Wow. You know what? Can I say at the end of all this? I knew you'd say that.
Yeah! So did you think I was going to like it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had a feeling that you would. So, which is fine, because like, there's part of this, like, you don't necessarily want, like, let me tell you why it's wonderful. Like, I could, actually, I think the next thing that I want to have you, I don't know if you'll like or not.
Okay.
But there are things in it that I think you'll appreciate because it's this weird blend of whatever that's coming your way.
Okay. With that said, should I reveal to you what your next assignment is?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready.
This is one that is not, I don't think, is as hated as Xanadu or Judge Dredd.
Okay.
Doesn't have great Rotten Tomato ratings. It's one that I really love.
Is it a Beatles movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure how you're going to feel about this either you see it. But my next assignment for you is Tron Legacy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm excited because I've never seen it.
I know that. I know. We've talked about this.
I've never seen the original one either. Does that matter?
No, doesn't. Okay. Honestly, doesn't.
Great.
It'll give you, you'll get the idea from that. If you want to watch it for bonus points, sure. But like, even I've only seen the original Tron once and I don't really care for it.
Gotcha.
But I love Tron Legacy.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's got like a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes. So like,
could go either way.
It is pretty, there are things about it I think you'll like. There are things about it I think you might not like. I can't tell where you're going to land, kind of like with whatever your next assignment for me is. I'm not sure where you're going to land because I could see in my head I'm formulating arguments for you liking it and not liking
it
overall. So we'll see. We'll have to see.
Okay.
So it's not like Xanadu where I was like, I know this is terrible. I know you're going to hate it, but I'm going to subject you to this because I want to talk about it, damn it.
Yep, okay.
And it's not like Dread where it's like, I think you're going to love this. You just need to be forced to watch it. This is somewhere in between.
Okay.
So we'll see where that nets out, but I look forward to talking about Tron Legacy with you soon. I look forward to the excuse to watch Tron Legacy again.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, you can find us on the internet at beerwithgeeks.com or Facebook, Gmail, and Twitter at beerwithgeeks. You can find all of our Thought Bubble audio shows at thoughtbubbleaudio.com, including Beer with Geeks, Academy Rewinds, Starkville's House of L, Supergirl, TV Talk, and Hate Watch with Us.
Mm-hmm.
You can check all of those in places that podcasts can be found, such as Apple Podcasts and Google Play and Satchel and Overcast and Stitcher and all these other places.
All the great places.
All the great places. That being said, you can also head over to patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio and check out all the different tiered rewards there if you want to give us some of your hard-earned moolah. Even a dollar will help us keep the lights on. Frank, did you not pay your bill?
Oops.
No, just kidding.
Please pay us.
Just kidding. It's a thunderstorm. No, it's not the lights still on.
None of those things. Yeah.
Okay.
Tim's got jokes.
I've got jokes. They're not funny.
Sometimes.
Sometimes they're funny. Yeah, I knew you'd say that. So that is it from us. Until next time,
cheers.
What are you?
The law.
I knew you'd say that.